Hey, my name is Bryce Watts, and this is the NF Ladies Podcast. This is a podcast where I talk exclusively to the women in the NFL to learn about how they navigate this life in the league. The players are always the ones in the spotlight, but I want to highlight the women who are the support systems behind the scenes. Let's do it. Lately, I've been feeling out of touch. Like nothing gives me that same kind of edge. All right, welcome back to episode 32 of the NF Ladies Podcast. I am here with guest Samira Jackson. Hello, Samira.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Thank you for coming on with me today. Even when all that flash flood and stuff was happening, you somehow made it back, and we are doing this in the safety of your own home. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. Alive and well.
So let's start off by you telling us who you are, who your significant other is, how long you've been in the league, and how many teams you've been on and are currently with.
So my name is Samira Jackson, and my partner is Sheldon Day. That's my fiance. And we have been in the league for 7 years, and we have been on 4 teams so far and are currently on the Cleveland Browns.
4 teams. Okay. What were those 4 teams?
So drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. Then off to San Francisco 49ers, 1 year with the Colts and 2 with the Browns heading into year 7.
What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I really loved the Niners. I love the Bay Area. I love the team. And that year we actually went to the Super Bowl. So that was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Wait, did you guys win the Super Bowl that year?
We lost. And
I don't remember. I'm sorry. Like,
in the last 7 minutes of the fourth quarter.
I loved it. I went to 1 Raiders game and they yelled at me the entire time because my boyfriend was on the Jets. So, you know, they were yelling in my face. These grown men, but great area, amazing food.
Amazing food, great culture, great community. I love the boardwalk. It's always good to take like friends there and visitors or family. So I loved it. I loved it. The weather's mild, right? Like nothing too crazy. Always, always solid.
Well, girl, it gets so cold. Like in July, they say it feels like winter. If you're out on the water, it gets like 50 degrees. You would never expect it. I was wearing a parka a lot when I was up there.
It's giving Southern California. July, it feels like winter. It's 50 degrees when we are in Cleveland, Ohio, and I have a parka, electric hand warmers, fur boots, a goose down jacket. That's how cold it gets here. That's real winter.
I was going to say, those are really nice, right? The goose down ones, like those are an investment. And I thought like, I'd only see people like in Antarctica, like watching penguins wearing those.
No, you can get like different levels. You can get like small, light protection, medium, heavy duty. Because when we got here, it was actually in the middle of a snowstorm. And the last place I had really lived pre-pandemic was Miami, because I was in law school there. So I didn't own a winter coat. So we had to like rush order a pair of boots and 2 winter coats to our extended stay hotel because everyone was looking at me crazy and I was dying in my sweatshirt.
Yeah. You're like, no, this'll do. This'll do. Coming from Florida, it is not going to do.
It was horrible. It was terrible.
So is that colder than Indiana? Cause I know Indiana gets cold too.
I think it's kind of neck and neck. I think Cleveland's a bit chillier because we're right on the lake, but Indiana definitely gets cold. We definitely get some feet of snow for sure.
That's so interesting. I never think about it until I'm in any other state and either it's super cold or it's humid, because anywhere now I feel like it's just humid and I'm like, I'm in Ohio. Like, why is it so humid? Why is it so muggy? Why are there like flash floods happening? We just have like little baby earthquakes that we're like, oh, I felt an earthquake, and then it's done. We don't have any of that crazy stuff.
The Midwest is a wild place.
Well, you've got to live all over now too, so you like San Francisco for the area, but what region of the country did you like best? Is it that area because there's like no snow, you're not getting 50 degree weather generally, but it's also not sweltering?
Yeah, I love the temperature there. I also love living in Miami, even though I know we just talked about extreme heat, but I think it might be hotter here in Indiana than it is in Miami right now. Like, it's like 96 degrees. And I think in Miami, it's like 85, 86. So it's really unbelievable how hot it can get here.
Well, at least you have the ocean right there, depending where you are in Florida, the ocean right there to be like, all right, just dip in, cool off. We talked about before I turned on the recording about how you have several different pods. So you're in the middle of all of this craziness this offseason, 2022 offseason, with getting all of that stuff together from all those places that you were. So can you tell me a little bit about the craziness that is moving and buying furniture when you think you're going to stay somewhere and then whoops, you never know.
Honestly, the craziest experience, because Sheldon and I have been living out of like two giant laundry tubs and like our backpacks and suitcases this entire off season. Most of our clothes and our items are in the pods. And we recently went back because I was like, either we get my summer stuff out of the pod or I need a summer wardrobe.
Yes.
Because I don't have anything. And we get to our pods and realize all of our clothes are packed into our dressers and like saran wrapped so that the dressers wouldn't open during our move.
Oh no.
So it's not the worst thing ever. I think this has taught me that I have way too many clothing items because I've been making it out of the two tubs. But it's definitely an experience. We fully furnished a home in Indiana and then had to pack it all up at the end of the year. And we've got two giant storage pods that are just kind of hanging out at the pods warehouse until we find our forever home and can kind of do it all in one fell swoop.
This is a big thing that you mentioned, and I didn't realize this until I had all my clothes. We had all of our clothes in there from 2017 until the beginning of this year. So I had like the same four tops. I couldn't have a style because you don't have any of your stuff. And then you find things, you're like, oh my gosh, it's like Christmas. I forgot I had all this stuff. Like, that's just not something that you think about when you're moving that much and you have to be efficient. So you have the tubs and you're like, I don't even know where that is. I don't know if I still have it. Like, I need a dress for this event that we're going to. I don't have anything. I have yoga pants. That's it.
Absolutely. And you know what I just started doing this off season? I actually use a rental clothing company because I know what I have in the pods. And I'll see something cute online and then I'll say, like, I know I have something adjacent to this. I just don't have access.
Yeah.
So I actually use this rental company called Nuuly. And it's Nuuly, not a plug, don't work for them. But if anyone decides to use it, let me know and I can give you my link so you have a discount. But you get six items and it's great because that's been kind of helping me a little bit. Like if I know I'm going on a trip or I know I'm going somewhere, for example, we just had a wedding in Hawaii and then we spent a few days in LA. So I got, you know, a couple of cute tops, I got two or three dresses, and that's a nice way to kind of hold me over until I can really have access to my full wardrobe again.
That's really smart. I've always seen it, you know, renting clothes and stuff, but like I spill stuff on everything. So first of all, I don't trust myself. And second of all, I don't know like how often I would be doing it because I would be like, oh, I totally am going to go out and wear a dress and then end up, you see me right now, my tank top and I'm wearing yoga, you know, yoga shorts. So it's like, is that going to be a good investment for me? I don't know. So I'm just, you know, going to thrift stores and buying stuff there. You can find some good stuff depending on which thrift store. I have a favorite. If you find your favorite on the area, I promise you, you can find some stuff with tags on still. You just got to be there for a while, like sifting through.
Absolutely. I'm a big time thrifter. I get a lot of like, honestly, team stuff. Whenever we go to a new team, my first stop is the thrift store because I love those vintage jackets or like the leather, or the suede, like OG team varsity. So I try and find something good like that because the prices that places are charging, like the consignment shops, are crazy. Like $70 for a windbreaker that's from 1990. I know it only cost you $14.99.
Yeah, that's used. I'm like, I might as well buy something new. They're ridiculous. If they're like smaller, I want to support. But I'm like, come on, like
you're ripping me off.
This thing, I gotta wash this a couple times before, which I do with the vinegar.
Gosh,
I knew that was a thing, but I haven't done that yet. You know, because they kind of have a little funk sometimes.
Always.
Yeah,
that's my thrift secret. Like half cup of white vinegar, just toss it in there, and even the craziest things, it can get clean. Like I had a really dingy but super cool Niners leather jacket that I wore to the Super Bowl, but I had to wash it with the vinegar. And you have the vinegar scent for like a week, but you just air dry it. And when it dries up, that vinegar scent evaporates and you're good to go.
Interesting. I'm going to have to do that. I never thought about that. I mean, in my game day outfits, I just make a bunch of neutral, like I'll have something like this and put like a name because it gets expensive. You never know.
You never know where you're going to be. I try to stick to black.
Yep. Black, beige, white, like those are my go-to. Just throw it over some jeans, over like a black dress and put a little tie knot, you know.
Yes.
Get cute for the game because I'm trying to do the most now.
Absolutely.
At this, you know, at year six, I'm just trying to do the most where, whatever, where I look ridiculous. I don't care. I'm doing it. This is a once in a lifetime thing.
Absolutely.
So you talked about, we talked about the clothing aspect of it. Now the furniture aspect of it. We did the same thing where, you know, you get drafted. You're like, wow, they want you here.
They and love
then,
us.
Yeah, they look at us, spotlight on us. And then next year, like, see ya, drafted you. I'm like, that's really a bad business move. It's a waste of money on your part. But, you know, we bought, we were renting a condo, two different bedrooms. Not like we had a bunch of furniture, but furnished the living room, furnished the bedrooms. So not realizing how volatile this industry is, and then you get people after the fact saying like, well, didn't you know any of this could happen? It's like, would you think that?
I knew it could, but yeah. Did I think it would? No.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, I think you're year six, I'm year seven, like we know looking back how it can be and how much of a business, a strictly business, the industry can kind of be.
Well, I even look at, somebody asked me, an incoming lady actually asked me, what do you suggest, or like, what is your advice on, like, I'm trying to decide if I move with him, if I don't move with him. And I was like, you know what, if it's whatever you decide you want to do in your relationship, I chose to move because I wanted to be a part of everything and support and do everything that I could. But, you know, maybe not buy like a whole bunch of furniture, buy stuff where if you needed to leave, you could. If you needed one pod, so you're only paying for one pod and then moving and then also an apartment, because all that stuff is expensive. Like, and I say this all the time, yes, you make a good living for like 4 months, but you got to be really smart with your money because that's got to last you the rest of the year or however long you're going to be in here and the crazy lifestyle. And you, if you have to move 8 times, like you got to make sure you got something saved up.
Yes. Yeah, it's even for moving. Our last big move, I'm so grateful. And I feel like super blessed because we were in Indianapolis and that children's hometown. So his whole family like helped us, minus the heavy lifting. So we hired movers for the big things, but everything else, they helped us so much. They helped us pack up our pods, seriously fold clothes. Like, I have so much gratitude for the family because that saved us. But even now we literally rent everything. So even last year in Cleveland, we rented our couch, we rented our TVs, rented our bed, we rented the box spring set, like everything, our bed frames, literally everything. And then I went to Walmart and got like 5, cause I do like, I don't love paper plates and plastic cups. So I got, like 5 plates and like one giant coffee mug from Marshall's. And those are the things that we bought.
Good tip. Go to Dollar Tree Dollar Tree is my favorite.
Yes.
They have so many cute things. I went there yesterday. It's now $1.25. When you know the dollar store is going up, like something is wrong. It's not just gas prices, y'all. It's hitting Dollar Tree too.
We're
it's
in danger
up in here. But yeah, danger. I mean, that's what you do. And the only thing that I won't get from there are the utensils because they taste like metal to me. Like
and
something about them. Yeah. I mean, I can eat with a bent fork, but if I'm like, is this macaroni and cheese or am I eating foil? Like, that's not where it is for me.
That's where you draw the line.
Just that's so interesting hearing other people and who bought furniture and who, you know, maybe there's another person who did buy furniture, but that didn't happen to them. And
yeah.
they look back and say, wow, that was stupid that we did that. Thank goodness it all worked out. So some people it does work for, and then some people it doesn't. And then you're doing the whole traveling thing. And I mean, you've been to 4 teams, so you've moved, I don't know how many times you've moved with him, but that's 4 different moves.
Yes. I've been moved from Jacksonville to California. I wasn't so helpful. I was in law school. I was in law school at that time, so I wasn't very hands-on, but we ended up coming back to the house. Again, Sheldon's family, they're amazing. So they're always like so hands-on and so helpful. And they helped pack up the Jacksonville house in our absence. And it was just amazing. They got our dogs. It was amazing. And then, we did our Indy move. Yeah, gosh, yeah, these moves totally suck. California, back here, and then, which was during the pandemic. That was 2020 fresh when the season ended. That's when we were done. The contract was up. And then again, Colts to Cleveland is when we had our pods and we just didn't take much. We were like, it's going to be cold there. Bring fall, winter clothes. We'll run everything else because we can't keep doing all this moving.
And that's back and forth. Back and forth, like across the country. That's one corner to the other corner. Like, that's not just going like Indiana to Ohio. Those two were huge. And, I mean, and even to Indiana from San Francisco. Those are huge moves. Those are cross-country moves.
Yes. We only had one dog and from the Florida to San Fran move, and I had her with me in school. So luckily, we didn't have to move our dogs. But anywhere we would go after this, we have two dogs now. We have to bring our dogs. Gotta bring our kids.
How is that working now? Because I just talked to somebody and they said you can't even bring dogs as pets on the plane. Is that true or am I getting false information?
Actually, we haven't
flown. Like, you'd have to drive.
Yeah, we haven't flown with our pets. But I would never put them, like, under the plane. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what we would do. Thank God we haven't been in that position. But I have no clue. I know that there are services that, like, you can kind of board your dog with that will drive them across country. I want to say they're upwards of $1,000, but I do have girlfriends that have done that. I know, upwards of $1,000. Just, this is pre-gas price hike.
You might as well just get a private, I mean, I'm being dramatic, but you might as well just get a private jet at that point.
I know people who have done that too. I have friends that have three dogs, and when they go from off-season home to, like, the season, or the season vice versa, they just get it.
They get it, put all their clothes in there, so everything. It's just like, that's their move.
Yeah, that's the move.
I think I've seen somebody do that. I'm like, wow, if you have the money, that's actually really smart because it ends up being super expensive anyway.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, if you can afford it, there are few, but certainly definitely some situations where it makes sense.
Well, and I didn't even mention if you are driving, like you're going through potentially snow, depending on where you're driving from.
There's
all
no
the
way.
Different mountain ranges. Yeah, there's no way.
I would never do it. And all the miles on the car, I would literally never do it.
Miles on the car. Girl, like, I don't have a conventional job. Like, I've done things like contract, but we get all of our miles just from moving from state to state. Like,
yeah,
even though I'm not doing the everyday commute,
I work
it's brutal.
From home. Yeah, I work from home. The miles on my car that add up the most are either driving home to see my parents, driving to our home base, or up in Cleveland. And it's like a little triangle. It's like 5 hours, 8 hours, 5 hours.
So you're getting like 1,000 miles in one trip. Yeah. Then like 12 here,
yeah.
5 there.
Yes. Yes. Without a doubt. That car, he's literally like, you just need to keep the car forever because you're never going to be able to sell it, all the travel miles you put on it.
Girl, I don't know anymore. People are selling back their cars like for more than they bought them for. I have a friend who just is trying to do that with his truck. Like, nice Raptor truck, and they are buying them back at crazy prices. Everything is so crazy right now.
It's true. I just sold, I got a new car 2 years ago. I had my law school car still. We had it, and I was like, we should just junk it. Like, it's not going to be worth anything. Like, it's an 08, you know, the turnover is kind of iffy. When we sold it back to Acura for like $3,500, and I literally was ready to junk it and just get zero for it. I'm so glad that I went to the Acura dealership. They're like, yeah, we'll take it right now, today.
They want anything.
Get the paperwork started in the back, John. Like, they were like, we'll do the deal right now.
That's why. So, I mean, essentially you're doing no work and selling your car instead of, you know, racking up the zero. That's a good chunk of change.
That's a nice, I was able to use it. My bachelorette's coming up, and I knew the house that I wanted in Tulum. And I used it to just put the down payment down, just like hurry up and get it, which was such good timing. And now my girlfriends have paid me back, but it was perfect timing.
This is a good segue. I didn't even ask. So you're going on your bachelorette trip to Tulum. That's amazing, by the way.
So
how did you guys get engaged? How do you propose? I saw a video of it on your Instagram, but tell your fans, tell the listeners how it happened.
Oh, it was super sweet. It was Memorial Day weekend. We had the house still in Carmel, Indiana, and we had a huge backyard. And Sheldon, again, he's super family oriented. I'm really family oriented, but I'm an only child, so I don't have many siblings, but he has a bunch. So for Memorial Day, we threw this big cookout. in our backyard, we always have like a giant bounce house or like an obstacle course for the kids. And then, you know, as the night goes on, the adults get, we get on there too. The drinks start flowing. We're ready to, we're suddenly D1 college athletes ourselves. My dad, he actually ripped his pants going through the obstacle course with my niece. Luckily he had a spare pair. And maybe 2 weeks before Memorial Day, I had found out that I passed the bar, which was so exciting. And Sheldon's like, we're going to have a cookout. We're going to celebrate you passing the bar. Get all the champagne, all of the drinks, all of the food. Let's go. And I was like, period. Let's go. And so as it trickled into the evening, he gave me a bottle of champagne. Listeners, ladies, one thing I know how to do is spray a bottle of champagne. That's for certain. One thing's for sure. Two things for certain. I'm going to spray that champagne. So he hands me a bottle. He's like, I just want to thank everyone for coming out. We're celebrating Samira passing the bar. You know, she's going to turn around, shake the champagne. We're going to have a great time. So I turn around, shake the champagne, going crazy. And then when I turn back around, everyone's screaming. Sheldon's on one knee. And embarrassingly enough, he didn't even ask. I just said yes.
You forgot the one question.
I forgot. His friends were like, he had a whole speech prepared and everything. I was like, yes.
Oh, he did. Was he just nervous or just like caught up in the moment? He's like, this is all I need to do. Obviously, on my knee, got the ring.
He was on his knee and everyone was screaming. And I was just like, yes. And gave him a kiss. And then everyone just kept screaming like there was no time.
That's amazing. So all of this stuff is happening at the same time.
Yeah. Really crazy 2021.
Okay. So that was 2021. What month did you say that you passed the bar?
May.
Okay.
And then I got a new car in May. And then I got engaged in May. So May 2021 was amazing.
It was wild.
It was wild.
So I'm going backwards. I'm going backwards. I'm backtracking. So how did you guys even meet? Like, when did you meet? What was that story? We got the exciting engagement story. So how did you meet?
That's a good one. My godbrother, John, actually was teammates and roommates and, of course, good friends with Sheldon at Notre Dame. So we met through my god family in short. But there was a year they were on spring break, I think, in PCB. And, like, it was the year that Dak Prescott got, like, punched or something crazy happened. So I FaceTimed my godbrother, like, be safe. They're attacking football players. Don't tell them who you are. They're attacking the football players. So they're crazy. And John and Sheldon were on FaceTime together. So when I was FaceTiming John, Sheldon walked by. And he saw me. And the story goes, rumor has it, that after John and I got off of FaceTime, Sheldon was like, who is that? Like, who is that? And my godbrother was like, that's my god sister. And the rest is history. Got in touch, slid in my DMs. I still have a screenshot of, but it's really lovely because Sheldon's family, Sheldon's mom, and my god family and my godmother were very close with both of the boys, you know, being teammates and playing together. So it was special that they already had a bond. It felt safe. It felt so comfortable, you know.
So it is that big family that you want. You're very family oriented, being the only child, but you still got that family. I mean, you guys were cementing that even before you knew you're going to be together.
Yeah. Yes. My mom's also, I'm from a big family. I'm just an only child. My mom's one of nine. Okay. So I have more cousins than I have fingers and toes. my fingers and toes and your fingers and toes. Like, I have a lot of cousins.
There's only three of us, my siblings. But I love the idea of a huge family, just like having everybody who has to be your best friend because you're all related. Yep. And then you get the pets and then you get the grandkids and then you get the cousins. Like, you get the whole thing. You get the whole extended family, too.
I love
that.
Right. Putting five little kids in one bed for the sleepover because they don't want to sleep without each other.
Because they're scared at the sleepover, telling scary stories and watching that scary movie. They're not supposed to be watching.
Exactly. That was me. That was me and my cousins as well.
You remember when, I don't know if you went to Blockbuster and you walk by and you see the really scary movies, like the pictures on the front. I would scare myself just looking at the pictures. Like, I would like to scare myself. I don't know what it is, but I would punish myself and just walk by and I would dream about the photo. Like, not even the film. I didn't even see the movie.
I'm a legitimate scaredy cat. I don't like scary movies. A scary movie to me is like Lord of the Rings.
Really? No, that's my favorite.
I don't know. I love it, but that's peak scary for me. Like, I can't take it any further.
Okay.
And it's not even that scary. I guess that was kind of the point. Yeah, I hate scary movies, actually. I, like, won't go. He hates it because I just will not go. Especially the ones that are kind of real, like Poltergeist or, like, you know, spirits and things. No.
The Conjuring? You're not for Annabelle?
No, I've literally, no. No.
Those are my favorite now. I took, like, a total 180, and now I love scary movies. Like, I used to fall asleep to The Conjuring, like, while I was watching it, because I'd watch it so many times. Like, this is comfortable. I know all the scenes.
I don't think you could pay me enough money to go see a legitimately scary movie.
That's so funny. I guess there are some scary parts in Lord of the Rings, so I'll give you that.
That's,
I
got, yeah,
some scary creatures in there.
Right.
And they're
right.
Ugly, too. So I got you. No, I feel you. I feel
you. That's it.
So we've been dancing around it. You passed the bar.
Yes.
You're a new attorney.
Yeah.
How was that whole process, like, dating Sheldon, doing your own thing at the same time, and doing all these moves? Like, I've just been doing one of those things, like doing all the moves. I can't even imagine studying for the bar, passing that, still going to school, and then doing your own thing. But you said you're doing remote stuff too. So just give us the breakdown of, like, how you did that.
Yeah, it's a lot easier now. It was really difficult for me at first. It just felt overwhelming. Like, there's just so much going on. I'm lucky I took the uniform bar exam, unfortunately. So I'm barred in Maryland, which is my home state. But I can swing my score. And thank God I passed high enough to waive into almost any state that takes the UBE, except for two. One is Alaska, so I'm pretty sure we'll never go there. And then the second is Colorado. So what I do now is I do a lot of pro bono cases. I take pro bono family law cases, and that's how I'm able to go to court remotely and be on Zoom. And then I also do trademarking and copywriting consulting just on the side. That was my specialty in school. And then my 9-to-5 is like discovery work. So it's basically, you don't really have to be an attorney. Well, you do do the discovery work, but it's essentially going through documents and like coding them and compartmentalizing them and categorizing them based on whatever the larger lawsuit is. So we work for really big companies. I can't say their names, but really big companies that need help. It'll be thousands of documents that we might have to do. And there'll be a team of us and we'll go through the documents all online. So it's great. And that's allowed me to move around and things like that. But when we do have to go back to court in person, it's going to get a little sticky. But, you know, year 7, I'm kind of expecting, you know, not like a 20-year career. So whenever we do settle down, I am looking forward to planting roots and then being able to, like, grow within a firm wherever our home base is and really practice, because I'm really passionate about civil rights. But that type of attorney, you just can't move around the way that we do. You have to be in person. Everything is in person. Even during the pandemic, almost all the trials were almost suspended because you just have to be in person. So the day will come when I can go litigate in person.
That's so interesting. I have so many different points that I want to talk about. That's so interesting, you doing everything online. Like, you basically started doing all of this online. So then when you go back into the office, you will have this experience and growing this experience and knowledge that the older attorneys don't have. Maybe the younger attorneys aren't going to experience until they're going into the field, but you'll be able to coach them up and, like, actually see where it's going from here. Because every, you know, company's kind of pivoting to have to be online, to require it to some extent, because remote is such a big thing now that even traditional thing, like, my dad's a CPA, accountant's, like, supposed to be super stereotypically stiff. Like, you go in, you wear a business suit, the whole thing. But even they are saying, okay, you can go remote, you can do this, you can do that, that they would never have thought before. So companies are having to reevaluate, and it's going to be interesting to see something like, in you being an attorney, that feels like it's the same wavelength as CPAs and stuff, where it is so traditionally strict.
Yeah. And even now, they're hybrid. So if the case can be handled online via Zoom, they typically will allow you to. But even for my mom, she's actually also an attorney. She was telling me that even if they have you as scheduled as in person, if both parties, you know, and both counsels agree, hey, let's do this on Zoom, then they can transition you to a Zoom hearing. So there's still an option. And I really do think that we're going to head in that direction. Again, because I'm not in criminal where you might say, oh, I want a jury trial. I do think something like a jury trial just from now on until the end of time will be an in-person thing, because you can't feel emotions and things like that, you know, through a screen as well. So I think that that is always going to be an in-person thing. But for something like family law or an especially transactional law, I definitely think it's going to be a lot more remote and a lot more work from home, because we proved that we could do it. So now nobody really wants to go back.
How interesting is it seeing the NFL from an attorney standpoint and understanding like the legal implications of something, or the behind the scenes where me, I just know what they're telling us, or I don't know what's required by law, and the fact that there have been some certain things that the NFL has neglected or they have full knowledge of but haven't acknowledged it to the public. One of the biggest things now is CTE. Yeah. With, you know, I forget his name, but that wide receiver,
I saw
he's found to have CTE, and you know, they don't acknowledge it publicly, but they understand that it's an occupational hazard, if you will.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And it's horrible to say, but again, like, you know, this type of podcast, we all get it. It's such a business. Anytime, I don't want to say I don't believe anything, but whenever I hear anything whenever I hear anything, we all been there. I know that take everything with a grain of salt, because that money rules all, cash rules all. At the end of the day, you know, we care about you, but it's to an extent, because if we are going to make money off of you, then you better get on the field or you better go play. And it's definitely difficult as us, as partners, to sit by and watch. Like, our partners are literally sacrificing their bodies every day in practice, really, and then on game day. So it's really interesting. I haven't looked through all of the benefits that they get when it comes to injuries and things like that, but I have been brushing up on it. So I've been trying to review the CBA, but that thing is long. It is so long, it's so complex, and it's just a lot.
Yeah, I'd imagine, because you know what all that stuff means.
Right, like, and I get it. Right, I get it. Like, to me, I'm like, this is a lot, and I'm a lawyer, yeah. When they were voting on the new CBA, I was so surprised that they expected the guys, I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised, but it was interesting. They expected the guys to look through all those materials and comprehend all those materials on their own, and then vote on, you know, how they wanted to move forward. Because nobody really uses legalese anymore, like legal language or like legal talk. We're trying to be shifted out of it. I was taught in school to not do that anymore, because the average person is not going to know what the heck is being said, like what anyone's even talking about, like witness it before, like, no, it's so old.
Do you think that, I'm sure part of it is because it's very old school. You have the older generation who is in there, and this is how you've done it, and this is how you talk. And I would imagine if you know all that stuff, you feel like, I know this stuff. Like, I'm smart. I feel good. Like, I would feel like that too. But do you think also there's a part of it where you can use this language and people will accept what you're saying because it sounds legitimate, or they don't even know? So they're like, okay, that sounds good. Let's do whatever you suggest as the attorney.
Absolutely the latter. I don't speak to my clients in legalese ever, because no one uses it really. I mean, you know, just, yeah, I don't really use it. No, I was taught in school not to use it. My mom doesn't use it. I mean, I might have one word if I'm sending a new line or something, but it's the content of the document is not going to be in legalese. It'll be straightforward, grammatically correct, you know, concise and complete, like you would expect from an attorney, but it's just confusing to the average person. And when I think about it, well, what's the point of us, you know, having these contracts or drawing these things up? It's supposed to be an understanding between two parties. It's supposed to be like a meeting of the minds. That's what a contract is, amongst other things. But you know what I mean? So to make it as clear as possible, it just makes sense to use regular kind of English.
Yeah. And I want to segue this into, I saw on your bio that you have an account, or you've linked account, the Players Company.
Oh, yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because I looked at Sheldon's post talking about how you're going from a college student to immediately being an NFL player, and you're making six figures if you're getting drafted and you're not in an undrafted free agent. But you just don't have the vocabulary or the knowledge or the how-to to even manage this, because we are not taught this. We're taught some other stuff that maybe we shouldn't have been just learning about Helen Keller, you know, because maybe a couple of things that are a bit more applicable to everyday life.
Yeah. So the Players Company, that's actually Sheldon's baby, but I do like all of their legal stuff for the most part. It's basically just about financial literacy, and it's not just athletes, but it's really for marginalized communities who just don't have the education. Most people don't. Like, when I think about who taught me about finances, that's my mom and my dad. I didn't learn it in school. I'm so lucky my parents were able to kind of help me establish a line of credit at a young age, so that when I came to my own and had my own bills and my own finances, my credit was already solid. And the Players Company is basically about working with athletes, and their whole board is athletes, where they were, but making sure that the young guys don't make some of the mistakes that the older guys have made, which would be, you know, blowing all of their money immediately, not planning for the future, not having both a financial advisor, but also being knowledgeable yourself. And how important that is, because at the end of the day, you can't sleep on your AP watch, right? Like, you can sleep in your Rolls Royce, but it's probably not the best sleep. We could have put that money towards a house or down payment, or just something that's a little more meaningful. And even investing, something they've really been diving into is how to invest your money and what it means to invest. And investing in things that, you know, matter to you, and how to kind of come up on in that way, have passive income. So, you know, you're playing in the league, you're earning your money, but perhaps we live off of my signing bonus for X amount of years, and then we invest my actual, you know, finances, the actual money that I'm making, my salary. So it's pretty cool.
That's another thing too, is it, I guess, you know, to say it in a mean way, you're wasting, you could be potentially wasting your money, even if you're just saving it in an account and you're not investing it and you're not putting a dump, you're not buying property, whatever you choose to do to invest, you may think you're being smart. I'll give an example. My significant other really wanted to do all that stuff, really wanted to be knowledgeable about it and not just give his money to somebody else and trust what they're saying. He wanted to understand it. So a couple years into the league, he decided, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he kept buying, and then he kept buying, and he got more knowledgeable and understanding that when you're looking at the market that day and it says you lost X amount of money, it's going to come back up, and understanding how index funds works. So you just have that for the future. It's not sitting there. And like you said, passive income, it's working for you, and you're not wasting the opportunity that you get. Because when you're 23, I would say most people don't have the money that these guys are getting at 23. So at you have all. Such a great opportunity to create generational wealth for you and your family and your kids and your grandkids. And I know that, you know, so there are some individuals that come in not having that, not having anything, first generation everything.
Right.
So that's so important.
Right. And it only makes sense that if, let's just say, you come from poverty as well, and you come and you get this fat check, like, of course you're going to want to go buy a car. Of course, you're going to buy your mom a house or do these things, buy a chain, the chain you've always wanted, all these sneakers you've always wanted. But there's definitely, with a little bit of discipline, there's definitely so much more on the other side.
And there's a balance between that too, because I think that one side looks at the other and says, that's so stupid. Why are you spending your money on shoes, a chain, or whatever? But, you know, like, you want what you want. Some people like designer things. As long as you're not spending it on that just exclusively, like, do you? It's your money. You made the money. Like,
you earned it.
You've earned it. You've really earned it. But people, when it's not their money, they have a lot of opinions of how you should be spending it. That's definitely for sure.
Always. Always.
Telling you how you should live your life, or what you should appreciate, or what a hardship is compared to yours. But, you know, it all becomes relative at that point. This is definitely a blessed position to be in. I've never said otherwise, but you're still allowed to have those problems. It's just on a different scale.
Correct. I totally agree.
Yeah. So this is actually a good segue into the other thing that you have linked in your bio. It's your summer series. So tell us about
where you were going.
You got so excited. I was like, no, I'm going to mention it. Don't worry. So tell me about that.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. I haven't been back up since COVID, but I love my community. I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland, Montgomery County, till the day I die. But I love the DMV, and I'm not a huge birthday person, but I really do enjoy doing community service. That's something my parents instilled in me at a very young age. And again, it just ties into my civil rights work. So I think in 2016 or 2015, right after I graduated from college, I was in my gap year, and I was working in Baltimore at a civil rights firm. My boss, his name's Kerry. He's absolutely incredible. Just a real champion of the people. I can't speak highly enough about him. But I noticed on my way to work, I was just seeing a lot of homeless people or houseless people. And it's difficult for me. I'm really empathetic. So I used to go buy like water bottles during the summer and just keep them in my trunk and or in my car and just hand them out. Or if I had like snacks, like maybe buy like chips, a bag of big things of stuff from like Costco. You know what I'm talking about. So it's a good deal. And just give them to people. And I saw on Instagram that like a group of people called like hashtag lunch bag, and they would basically make sandwiches and then like hand them out in the community. And it was like a party and everyone had a good time. And another thing about me, can spray champagne, loves to party. I love to have family and friends around, love to have good food and like to just celebrate life. Like I'd celebrate life and just gratitude before I would celebrate my birthday. So on my birthday, I was like, why don't I just like, everyone loves to party. Everyone comes to my parties, but there's impact to be made. So what I ended up doing was throwing a birthday party for myself. And I either did it at my parents' house or rented out a venue. I had two venues in DC, one at my parents' house. And the whole concept was I would go to Costco and I would get donations from, you know, whoever wanted to donate. And we would, my friend Al and my friend Trey would get together, buy a bunch of peanut butter, a bunch of jelly, a bunch of sandwiches, plastic knives, gloves, and everyone would come to our party totally free. Literally totally free. All you have to do is show up, make five sandwiches, and then like transition to the other room or side of the party where it's literally a party. So I would have like people come DJ either for a fee or they would do it, you know, for the community, just friends. Yeah. And so that's my summer series. That's how I celebrate my birthday, with community service and a party. And we started out, I think, maybe making like 200 sandwiches. And then in my last year, we made like 500 plus. And it just happened so quickly because everyone's happy to see each other. We had to stop people from making too many sandwiches because it's just too, it's too easy going down the assembly line because we're like, we're going to run out of supplies. So that's what my summer series is. And we'd like to partner with other typically women-owned kind of nonprofits. So the last year, we also collected feminine women's hygiene products and gently used bras to donate to women's shelters as well. So we feed our community, and then we try and find another organization to kind of work with. Like, we'll make them, and then I'll take them to, like, a shelter. Or I'll donate them to, like... really any like kind of helping hands or shelter in the area. So it's, we don't eat any of the sandwiches. We make them and then we donate them. So sorry, I totally left that part. I just wasn't clear. Yeah. So we make them. All my friends, yeah, they don't get to eat. They do get to go drink though. They do get to go drink on the house depending on where the location is. And a lot of venues, I'll either pay or they'll know that we're doing community service. And they'll say, you just got to meet the bar minimum, but they usually don't even care if we meet it or not because they know what we're doing is like for our community. So we always donate the sandwiches. Yeah. The first year I donated them to a woman's home in Baltimore that actually was a client of our firm. And then I usually find anyone or anyone online that I can work with, and we donate all the sandwiches. So we feed others and then we get to hang out and kick it ourselves.
Gotcha. And I would same thing goes for those people wanting to come out and actually be a part of their community. And community's coming up a lot in even your posts that I'm seeing, community. What gave you this respect and want for a community wherever you go, you know, wanting to be with people who are like-minded, lift each other up and helping other people too? What really drove that? Is it because you've always grown up loving family, being around family? So you're like, I like my community at home. I want my community outside of my home too.
Yeah. And I think being an only child, because, you know, we don't have siblings. So our community, like our friends that we choose outside, of course, our family and our cousins, like that's our family. And those are our siblings. And my parents have just always really raised me with sort of like a do unto others as you would have them do unto you type of mentality, like be the person that you kind of wish you had or that you might need. And I really do like love people. Like I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy different cultures. I love learning, chatting, any team I go on. It's pretty, that's what makes it a little bit easier when we do switch teams. I really am a people person outside of the house. Once I get home, battery pack is out, but outside of the house, I just love people. I love to get together. And I mean, it's just so important. We all have so many different things to offer. We have different experiences, different specialties. Like, I love people.
I love people. That directly relates to community. I love that. I love people as well. I draw my energy off of other
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Extreme extrovert, as you might say.
Absolutely. That's what I was telling you, that the little old lady that I helped with my umbrella in the crazy downpour. Like, she had such a good energy. I felt so good. Like, it made me feel good. Like, spent a little time with her, connecting with her. I knew she needed it. And, like, I came home feeling good.
Just for context, everyone, she helped out a lady in the flash storm that she had right before this recording. So that's why she's like, I'm going to be, like, 15 minutes late. Is that okay? I'm yes. like, all good.
I was like, thank goodness, because the storm came out of nowhere.
I can imagine. I've been out in the Midwest, and I've just been in other country or other states besides California. I know. That comes on in a flash. I feel you. We're nodding. Nobody's
we're nodding. We're nodding. The eyes. We're here with the eye to eye.
So you mentioned battery pack out, and that was actually a question that I had for you, because your last post you put that
you did your research. I love
girl,
it.
Of course, you know I'm good at stalking. Right, we're all good at doing the Instagram research. That you are very big on privacy and not wanting to share everything and only sharing what you want, but you wanted to talk about maybe something on a deeper level where you say you can do it. Even if you think you can't, you can. And just hitting more of a personal note when you've said on that post, generally you don't share a lot. You choose not to share a lot. So can you tell me about privacy and how important that is to you, especially in this highly publicized industry where they're always looking at you and picking at you or trying to bring you down?
Yeah. That's something I also kind of struggled with, because I think we all have that phase of like, oh, maybe I'll like be an influencer. Like I'm a wag, like I'm going to promote some wine or like something like that. But I'm 28, I'll be 29 next month. And I think just as I've gotten older, I'm just so much, yeah, more into privacy. Like, I don't like a lot of negativity. I'm also very opinionated. That's why my Instagram is private, because I'm very opinionated. I'm all up in what's going on in politics and what's going on in the world. So I don't want anyone who doesn't know me or at least have kind of crossed paths with me or we have some sort of interaction, whether that be a mutual friend, to put their two cents in on really anything. Because if you don't know me, it's kind of like, why? I don't want to say why would I like value what you have to say? Because I don't mean it in that way. But if you don't know me, then you don't know the place that it's coming from, or you don't know what's behind anything I might be saying. And I think it's important to be vulnerable and to be open, because there's so much, again, community in like hardship, honestly, hardship and success. And we really can lean on one another, and people think that they're going through things by themselves so often. And then I get together with my girlfriends and we're all like, yep, me too. Or I cried yesterday, or, you know, today was really tough and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's all about balance. And I just tend to be more private because I like to kind of put my head down and work, and then I'll share at the end. But I just felt like on my heart, you know, everyone's having a tough time right now, it feels like. Whether it be financially, just with gas prices and food becoming more expensive at grocery stores, or, you know, like we've discussed, our lifestyles constantly moving around. It's just, it's not necessarily bad. It's just difficult, you know, difficult in all actuality, physically moving things around, always kind of shooting all over, having so many things to worry about. So I just wanted to tell my friends, really, and mostly myself, like, whatever you're doing right now, just keep going. You're doing fine. You got it. Yatsusabe means, you know, you already know. Like, let's go.
I don't know why I haven't thought of it in that respect, where I didn't even realize you were private. I think I've been following you for a while. That's probably why. Yeah. When people are like, yeah, I was private. I'm like, really? I'm like, community. I see you're in the league too. Like, let's be friends. So I just add all the ladies I see. So that's probably how it happened. But how, if you are private and you do only have your friends and family, it's like having a big mass text chain. It's not you putting things out into the world, like you said, where there's zero context. Like, she's spoiled. She doesn't work hard, or whatever they get from whatever you said. They mix it with their own screwed up experience and then push that out on you. And
you're right.
Like, that's not even what I meant. Like, yeah. Why are you projecting on me? Yeah.
No thanks.
I understand, because I post a lot. I'm starting to post a lot. Things are blowing up, as you would say. Just, I've always been a big and silly personality. So I'm like, you know what? Let's make everybody else laugh. If I'm doing something self-deprecating or stupid, go ahead, laugh at me. I don't care. Yeah. But that also, on the other side, invites mean comments and criticism and opinions that are just blatantly false about you. So it's like so when it does happen, you can't be like, oh, people are being mean to me, because other people are like, that's what you asked for, like, in posting this stuff, when I don't think that translates. It shouldn't, at least.
No.
But you're accepting it.
Ridiculous. I mean, I think that's so ridiculous. When you're like, well, you put yourself out there, so you deserve to get criticized. Like, I don't know. I just think I love people. I'm not losing faith in humanity, but people are getting nastier by the moment, kind of behind keyboards. And they treat people like they're not humans, you know, just because it's a social media account or because you're behind your phone doesn't mean I'm not a person or you're not a person who's going to read a hurtful comment and, you know, it have an emotional impact. I'm also pretty like direct and like outgoing. I'm not confrontational, but I'm not like, I'm a lawyer, so I'm not scared of confrontation either. But I guess it's just something I choose not to deal with. And I don't love people snooping or anything like that. I just enjoy like a regular life, even though we have all these things going on and our partners are kind of in the spotlight. Like, I think I'm just a little more subdued, even though Sheldon actually never gets on social media. He's actually so much worse than I am. Never. He'll post about his youth camp and that's probably it. Like, and like, maybe if he makes a really good dinner one night.
Dinner, not even football. He's like, you got, look at this chicken that I whipped up. I'm killing it.
Yeah, big shell on the grill. And like that, he's so excited.
I agree with you where there is, it must be because all of that stuff is staying out and you know who you are and your friends know who you are. But there's peace. And I like doing both too, where if I'm off it, I'm like, I feel so in the moment, which is what I don't want to be the person on my phone or doing this and taking photos and videos everywhere. So like, I'll do a quick video and then be like, okay, like I'm done. I'm in the moment. I want to be in the moment, but I have that memory with me, because I'm big on that too. Like looking back at photos and videos, that like just to remember them. I'm big on that, but it's definitely nice. But if you want to go the social media route where you're trying to do a little something on there, you accept that. You accept that if you're going to be doing this and not doing a 9-to-5, like.
Yeah, that's a trade-off.
Realize.
That's a trade-off. Everything has an exchange. Everything has a trade-off. I like tried, gave the TikTok thing a roll, and I was like, I just can't produce the content. Like, how do they do this? This is like such a job. So my TikTok's just funny now. Literally like me shotgunning a beer at one of my best friend's weddings. Like old times. Like back in college.
See, that's the content that I want. That's the content that I post. I'm like, you know, if it doesn't perform well, I think it's funny. My friends think it's funny. I'm good.
I'm funny.
I need to follow you on TikTok.
Yeah, we can be TikTok friends. I only have a couple posts. But yeah, I mean, it's a trade-off. And like, I definitely admire and respect the girls that do like the public. Like, I mean, even Carly. I mean, Carly's amazing. But she wrote the Browns fans. Like, she's like the front. She's the contact point for both her and Wyatt, because Wyatt doesn't have socials, and like she interacts with the fans, and I mean that's just a gift. Just like you mentioned, you like to be funny and silly and post and share, like that's your gift. So you know, different strokes for different folks, and everyone knows what works for them, because like I said, Carly wrote like 1,000 Christmas cards to Browns fans. Like
that's crazy,
but that's like the person that she is, and that's like, you know, again, like a gift. It's a gift that everyone has. So all of our gifts are different, whether you're private or public or on the hush hush or whatever you want to do.
It's just interesting how relevant of a topic it is. Sometimes when I talk about it, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, it's social media. Kids play around on social media. But, like, if you choose, it can be a business. And it could be very lucrative if you're all in on it, especially if you can't hold down a job because you're traveling all over the place like me. And you're going to be like, okay, I'm here for 2 months. Peace. I'm out.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
So finding what can work for you or your lifestyle or your individual and your significant other. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I haven't brought up that you would like to mention to your audience?
No, this is my first podcast.
You did amazing. You did great.
Thanks. But no, yes. I mean, I'm glad to be a part of this community. One thing I love about like us NFL girls is that we really can be so sweet to one another and welcoming, especially when you're on new teams. And like to the girls that are always like taking on that motherly role, I just appreciate and love them so much, especially as a girl that jumps around a bit. So it's always so nice to feel welcomed and to just feel a part of something, even if you're new or whether you've been there for 10 years. And I love our community, and I think nobody gets us except for us.
Absolutely. And that's going to lead into my final two questions, which is, how would you rate your overall experience in the NFL thus far?
With the girls or like with like
just teams? In general.
Okay, as I said, I mean, it was a bit eye-opening how much of a business it is. But I'm also probably going to give like a corny answer and say like it's a 9 or a 10 because I wouldn't change anything. You can always like every situation, good or bad, I always feel like you can learn from it. So, I mean, I think it's been great. I think we're all super blessed and fortunate. And I just pray that we all have a good year this year, like a breakout year, not even good. Like everybody kill it. Everyone who hears this, I pray your partner kills it this season.
Except for if they're against my significant other, in that sense, don't kill it.
Right. Because that won't work. That won't work.
I'm so sorry. We can't thrive at the same time.
Right. Anybody on the, any team that plays the Browns, if you're on the O-line, stay healthy and, you know, stay prayed up. I don't want you to have the game of your life against us. I don't want you to go crazy against us, please. No.
It's my year.
It's our year, yes.
Junior in 2022. And then the most important question and everyone's favorite question. What would be your one piece of advice for a rookie wife or girlfriend just coming into the league?
It's so important to make sure you have things for yourself outside of your partner. And I'm sure someone else has probably said this, but I just have to double down because we focus so much on them and, you know, I think we accept the role that we're in. We make our own decisions, but so much is focused on them that it's really easy to be consumed by it. And it's just so important and been so beneficial to me to have my own stuff going on, to be pursuing my legal degree. And that can be whatever it is for you. It could be, you could be an arts and crafts person. You might be really good at pottery. You might want to try glass blowing, but whatever it is, definitely have, you know, time for you and your interests or hobbies, because you know we're people too, and we deserve to have like us time and things that solely make us happy in the same way that our partners can have things that solely make them happy. Everything doesn't have to be combined.
I like that. You are deserving of a personality and a life as well. Yeah. That is also intertwined or goes side by side with your significant others.
Yeah, you guys can go in tandem. You don't have to be attached. It's really an interesting balance. Because there's like me, him, us, like the dogs.
Yeah. You're doing your life. You, especially you being an attorney, new attorney, doing you, he's doing him. And then you guys are coming together at the end of the day. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. And why don't you tell us, I know you're private on Instagram, but where we can find you on the platforms you would like people to find you on, if it's TikTok or whatever.
It could be Instagram. I mean, it could be Instagram again. Like we're like a family, I feel like. Yeah. So. My Instagram handle is my name, which is Samira Jackson. No spaces or anything like that. Ooh, my TikTok. I actually made my TikTok name in case I decided to try and like turn up on TikTok. So it's the corporate wag.
That's a great one.
I thought of that, but I literally am totally failing at my, in my head of me, like taking it to the moon. I just can't produce the content, but that's what my handle is on TikTok. And then my Twitter is actually deactivated right now. By choice. I didn't get kicked.
Okay. I was like, what did you say? What'd you do?
I didn't get booted from the app. I didn't get booted from the app. I just figured since I got on TikTok, I might as well limit myself to two so I'm not super distracted. But I'll be back eventually.
Gotcha. During season, what a lot of stuff is happening on there.
Yeah, but also private because
they're mean.
They're so mean on Twitter. I learned in college, like, don't search the name. I search the name sometimes, but, you know, I've learned restraint since 20 years old.
Since they have a good game, or when they have a good game, that's when I look up and I'm like, they're saying nice things. I'm going to save this for later.
Right. But favorite.
When it's just regular, yeah. Yeah. When it's just regular games, you know, not everybody has something nice to say about anybody.
Yeah. Again, they don't think we're humans, like on the other side of their tweets. Like the fans can be really nasty and really nice.
Absolutely. And really nice too, but you get both.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just have one.
Yeah, no.
So thank you very much for coming on, talking all about your experience, moving all around the country, having those two different pods, renting your clothes, doing it the smart way.
Yes.
And yeah.
You talked about so much.
I know how you just passed the bar. Congratulations. We have a new attorney here, you guys. Boop, boop, all your legal needs. Yes. And then also about your summer series and how much you like to celebrate your birthday by giving back and really create that community outside of just your family. So thank you for coming on.
No, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. You were so much fun. And hopefully we end up either on the same team or playing each other this season. That'd be so great.
Girl, you never know. There are 32 teams and the world is our oyster right now.
I know. I can't wait though. I'll keep my eyes peeled. I can't wait. And I wish you guys the best. I'm super excited. Free agency is scary, but you never know. I always feel like God has a plan. Always.
Thank you for listening to episode 32 of the NF Ladies podcast with guest Samira Jackson. My intro and outro music called Not Ready Yet is written, produced, and sung by my friend Kira Grove. Again, my name is Bryce Watts, and I'll see you next week.